Now let's talk about the third reason that people leave church and what can you do about it. So here's the third one. I call it life interruptions. Life interruptions. Something happens in their life that interrupts their normal routine. And so we all have this. We all have interruptions in our life, and it affects everything. An interruption could be a marriage. An interruption could be a divorce. It's some kind of life change that happens. A new baby could be an interruption. Moving is probably the biggest interruption in America. I mean, we are a mobile society, and a large percentage of people move every year. And so they had habits of godliness in their old city, but they moved, and that interruption has caused them to get out of those habits. I was recently at a business seminar, and this was a seminar about marketing and about promotion, and they had a speaker present who was involved in the magazine business. And he was talking about how the magazine business has been declining for a number of years, and he said that one of the biggest challenges that face the magazine industry is interruption. That someone will subscribe to a magazine for years, but then an interruption happens. Maybe they go through a financial issue or have financial pressure and they can't afford to renew their subscription. Or maybe they move to another city or move across town, and that leads to an interruption. And he said it's very hard for us to reclaim people after that interruption has happened. And I thought about that. I mean, here's a magazine that's been a part of someone's life for 6, 7, 10 years, and then they move and they just suddenly never get around to resubscribing to the magazine or changing the address on the magazine. And I thought about that in my own life. And I thought about different times that I've moved, and sometimes I would think about it, but sometimes I wouldn't, because I broke that habit. The interruption interrupted my habits, and so I had to form new habits based on the new lifestyle choice that I had made. Well, if that happens in the magazine business, you can be sure and certain that it happens in the church world, that people have these interruptions. Now, as you think about it, logically, there's good interruptions, there are positive interruptions, and then there's negative interruptions. For example, a positive interruption, having a new baby, that would be a positive interruption. Getting married, that would be a positive interruption. People, perhaps one person lived in one apartment, the bride lived in another apartment, but they got married and they move into a new house together. That can be an interruption. And so instead of continuing the path of going to church like they always had, they say, we want to use now Sunday mornings to focus on us and to focus on our time. And they have these new habits that are the result of interruption, but unfortunately, they fall away from the church. Or you think about the new baby. The couple has the new baby, and they are up late, and they're not getting any sleep, and they're not certain they want to take the new child out to church and be around the other kids, and that becomes an interruption. And you know, studies have shown that it takes 21 days to embrace a new habit and an additional 21 days to personalize it. And so within 42 days, new habits really begin to form in our lives. And so if you think about that, if someone misses church for a couple of months, they're on pattern. They've developed a habit that could possibly keep them out of church for 6 months or even a year. And then on the flip side of that, if it's a negative interruption, a bankruptcy, a foreclosure, a downsizing in the job, a move that they didn't want to make, a divorce, a death in the family. Boy, I'm getting depressed just thinking about these negative interruptions. You think about that. Now, that's something that affects your life, not just for 42 days, but that can affect your life for 42 weeks. And so now these interruptions have really pulled people away from the church. Here's an exercise that I want you to do. I want you to think through, what are the good interruptions that people in my church face, and what are the bad interruptions that people in our church face? And this can be very different based on the churches that you serve. For example, we have a location, one of our journey locations, that for a season of time, divorce was very common in that location. It was a bad interruption. I mean, that church generally reaches people that are in their early 40s, that a lot of times they have kids that are going off to college or kids that are moving out of the house for the first time. And we began to realize that these empty nesters were going through some problems, some negative interruptions. And so in that particular location, we started thinking, how could we meet the needs of people who are going through that negative interruption of divorce? Now, if you flip that with our journey location that we had at the same time, which was in the Village area, the East Village area of New York. And by the way, these locations, if you're familiar with the Journey Church, you know we have multiple locations around. And so by the time you listen to this resource, the location may not be called when I'm calling it here. But we had a location that was in the East Village, and that was primarily made up of college students. It was right across from New York University, which is one of the largest private universities in America. And so we reached a lot of young people at that location. Well, divorce per se among college students is pretty low. But we had another issue in that church, and that is we had a negative interruption of two people would start dating because they met at the church, and then they would break up and one person would have to go to another church. Or sometimes both people would go to another church because they couldn't bear to come to Journey and recall the fact that that's where they went with the person they had the hard breakup with. And so it's funny how these things can be very different. You know, some of our locations in New York, they experience the ups and downs finances. Others don't. And as I've worked in our locations in Florida and California and different places where we have locations, it's interesting to see good interruptions and bad interruptions. And they're very different. So what are they in your area? You know, the first church that I pastored, that church in Charlotte, North Carolina, it was directly across the street from the NASCAR stadium. And so NASCAR season was sort of was it a positive or negative interruption in our church? But it caused a problem. Churches that I've worked with in Florida, sometimes they deal with the snowbird issues. And if you're up in the north or in Canada, you might deal with that as well. And that you have snowbirds who depart from your city or come to your city. So that could be an example of an interruption. Here's a small one that we all deal with every year, and that is the time change. Have you noticed how time change Sunday can be a bit of an interruption? And then there are interruptions that you cause. These are not necessarily good nor bad. They're just simply facts of life. You change the service times. You move locations. You build a new building. And so that creates interruptions. You start or stop small groups. That can lead to interruptions in people's lives. If you're dealing with a population that the death of a family member can be an interruption. The death of a spouse can be a major interruption in someone's life. I was teaching this talk one day in a coaching network, and somebody said, your own death. Well, that can certainly be a major interruption, but I don't think there's much hope of ever reclaiming that person this side of eternity. But there are all kinds of positive and negative interruptions, so you need to identify what they are. Now, how do you manage this? Well, the first action step is to catch it early. If you can, catch the interruption early. So if you know and you can discover that someone is about to have a baby, instead of letting that be an interruption in the lives of that young couple, let it be an opportunity for them to draw closer to the church. If you know that someone is going through a divorce, don't wait to follow up with that person. Catch it early and let them know that you're praying for them and extend that grace like we were talking about in the previous topic. But if you can catch it early, it seems like you're better able to deal with it. And you see, you want to be a church that walks through the interruptions in people's lives. Now, I'll tell you, and I'll put it on this resource just so everybody can hear it. I've had this dream for a while that there would be some kind of network where when people leave my church and move to your community, I could somehow alert you. Now, because I work with tens of thousands of pastors in my network family, I do have an advantage over just the average pastor. I mean, it's very common for me to receive an email from a couple in our church to say, hey, we're moving to Minneapolis, or we're moving to Dallas, Texas, or we're moving to Oklahoma City. Do you know a church there? And because there's so many people who are part of the ministry that I oversee and so many people who have gone through my coaching networks or read my books, I have quite an extensive list of churches that I can recommend. But wouldn't it be cool if you received a notification from the Presbyterian church in another state about the Presbyterians who had just moved to your state? And if we could walk with people through those interruptions, and if we could catch it early enough. Now, one of the ways that you catch it early is you listen to the grapevines in your church. Now, I know we often think about the grapevine as being negative. Gossip is spread over the grapevine. But there's also grapevines where you can get positive news. So train your group leaders to give you positive news about someone's life. Train your group leaders to share with the staff and share with you when someone's getting married or when someone is having a baby. And then at the same time, train your group leaders to share with you the tough stuff that they learn about their group members. And that is, have them let you know when someone loses a job. Have them let you know when someone is going through a divorce. Another way that you can get information from the positive grapevine is you can read the backs of your connection card. If you're familiar with my material on assimilation, you know I teach that you use a connection card, and that's certainly designed to capture the information from first-time guests, but it also is a tool for you to use to read prayer requests. And so if you're reading a prayer request and you're following up on that and you see that someone is about to go through or has gone through an interruption, reach out to them and walk through the interruption with them. And so those are ways that you can catch that along the path. And if you can catch it early enough, instead of it being an interruption, it can be an opportunity for ministry. And then, even if you don't catch it early, the second way you can deal with this interruption is you can reach out to the person and encourage them and let them know that you're available and that the church is still there and that you offer grace. So don't be afraid to reach out. I mean, occasionally I'll hear about someone who lost their job and I hear about it too late. Well, I would reach out to that person and I just apologize that it's taken me 3 months to realize they lost their job, or it's taken me 3 months to realize they went through a divorce. But I say, look, I want to encourage you to stay strong. You know, the very thing you need most right now in your life is the church. Now, honestly, I learn about these interruptions a lot of times through looking at people's giving. Now, I know this is controversial, and I deal with this in more detail in another resource that I have on stewardship, but I examine once a quarter the giving of people in our church. And sometimes as I examine the quarterly giving, I'll see someone who gave last quarter but hasn't given a dime this quarter. And I'll realize that something has gone wrong in their life over the last 3 months. Now, I don't necessarily call them and say, hey, I was examining your giving record and I noticed you haven't given anything over the last 3 months. But that's enough for it to alert me to check in with them. And often when I check in with them, I find out that they've gone through a divorce, or I found out that they've lost a job, or I found out that they've gone through bankruptcy, or their house has been foreclosed on. And I find out there's been this negative interruption. And I apologize to them that it's taken me so long to discover this and that I didn't hear about this earlier. But I let them know the church is there for them. And then I make a strong encouragement for them to get back in to church. And I literally look them in the eye or talk to them directly over the phone. And I say, Joe, I know you've lost your job and I know you feel distant from God, but I'm telling you, as your pastor, the very best thing you can do is to be there on Sunday. And so would you make me a promise that I'll see you on Sunday? And oftentimes Joe does, or he says, well, I can do it next Sunday, or I can do it the Sunday after that. And I ask them to stay connected to the church in spite of the interruption that they're going through. Same thing with divorce. I was talking not too long ago to someone who went through a divorce, and I did very much what I'm talking to you about. It took me almost a year to learn that they had gone through this divorce. And I apologized to the person that I had not heard about that earlier, and I assured him of my prayers. And I looked him in the eye and said, I want you to get back in church. And he said, but Nelson, the Bible says God hates divorce. And I explained to him that God doesn't like the results of divorce, that divorce hurts and it's harmful and it's like ripping apart two pieces of paper that have been glued together for eternity. But that doesn't mean God hates divorced people. And I explained to him how this was an opportunity for him to grow and for him an opportunity to have something new in his life and to get started back and to develop those new habits like we were talking about. And honestly, it wasn't the most encouraging conversation I've ever had. And I didn't leave feeling all that great about it. But now that I'm some months away, I can see that he's making progress and he is getting back in church and growing in that way. And so you reach out to people who have faced these interruptions. Now, obviously, the best kind of interruption to reach out to is a positive interruption. You know, maybe you find out that someone has had a baby and perhaps you found out 2 months later. Well, you can still deliver a baby gift. I've yet to meet a couple that doesn't like to receive a baby gift, even if the baby is 2 and 3 months old. Now, if you can catch it early, that's great. Certainly you want to reach out. But even with that, you can still reach out and encourage them. A couple that's been married or a couple that's moved, you can still reach out. Next, and finally in this section, you can utilize big days to reclaim people who have faced interruptions. Now, before I talk about the big day concept in general, let me say that there are different ways that you can work to stay in touch with people who have faced interruptions regarding a move. For example, if you do direct mail in any way, shape, or form, perhaps it's giving letters or perhaps it's promotions for special events at your church, and that's why I put this under the topic of big days, from time to time, it's worthwhile to pay for first-class postage. Now, in the church, often we will do nonprofit postage because it's cheap and it's good stewardship. But from time to time, it's important to do a first-class mailing to your database, because when you pay first-class postage, the post office will send you the updated addresses. And when you get those back and you realize that someone has moved, perhaps out of town, that would be a chance for you to reach out to them and encourage them to find a church in their new city. Or you find out that someone has moved across town. Or you find out that they're no longer at that address that you have on file. That can be a warning light for you that there's a potential interruption ahead that's going to cause them to fall away. Now, back when I was talking about sin issues, I used the story of the prodigal son. And we talked about that a lot. When it comes to interruption, I think the better story is the story of the lost sheep. And that is that Jesus willingly left the 99 and went after the lost sheep who had been interrupted. The process, the flight had been interrupted in some way. And so the sheep was outside of the pen and he went after them. So whenever you can discover that someone has faced an interruption and you can build systems in your church to discern those interruptions like a first-class mailing, by all means, I encourage you to use those. Because if you're going to recapture people through big days, you're going to need their most up-to-date mailing information. Now, let's talk about big days for a moment. If you've listened to any of my other resources or utilized some of my books, you know that I teach a concept called the big day. The big day is an all-out push toward a single Sunday for the purpose of breaking a growth barrier and reaching new people for Jesus Christ. And so Easter is a big day. The fall kickoff is a big day. Sometimes in the summer, you can create a big day. I often will create a big day in February. Well, these big days are natural points throughout the course of a church year where you can really go after people that you haven't seen in a while. For example, on Easter, I will go back and I will pull the list of every first-time guest we've had over the previous year that is no longer engaged at our church, connected to our church, and I will extend a special invitation to them. Whenever I get to the February big day, I will go back and pull people from the previous fall who maybe have moved or maybe who have had some kind of interruption in their life, and I will offer a special invitation for them. Not too long ago, I was working this process, and there was a doctor in our town who I had been working on. And honestly, the doctor was living with his girlfriend. And no, he wasn't living with Nicole. I know you were thinking that from earlier. But no, he was living with his girlfriend, and that had been part of the problem with getting this guy connected. And he had come a couple of times, but he had this sin in his life, and he knew that if he was going to commit to this church, he would not be able to fully commit because of the congruence or incongruence in his life as it would be. But I reached out to him about this big day, and I called him on the phone, and I said, "Hey, Doc, we've got this big day coming up at the church. I'm just calling to extend my special invitation." And he said, I'd like to come on Sunday. And we chit-chatted for a moment, and I asked him, I said, "What's going on in your life?" And he said, "Man, I'm so glad you called. I've been going through a tough time. I've just broken up with," and he called his girlfriend's name. And they had been living apart now for a couple of months, but that interruption in his life was actually a positive interruption because he went from living in sin to now living as a single person again, and that was part of his path to getting reconnected. And so these big days can give you an opportunity to think about how you can reclaim some people that have been interrupted by good and bad situations. Now, I just want to say it to be clear, a big day is primarily designed to focus on new people. And so if you can only focus on one type of person with your big days, focus on reaching new people. But if you are able to do that 80-20 split like we talked about earlier, then spend 80% of your time focusing on reaching new people through a big day and 20% of your time reclaiming people who have gone through an interruption, who have faced a sin issue, or any of these other reasons that we're going to talk about as we continue in this resource. But that's number 3, a life interruption.